there's one field champion or someone that identifies a tool that has merit and has value, and then spreads to other projects and other regions and other offices. One thing we are laser focused on now is really making sure that we're starting with the problem in mind and starting with the challenge before jumping to a solution. And the truth is, you know, we've done a good job of focusing on the problems that need to be solved and not getting distracted by the noise.
Welcome to Built Different, a podcast featuring teams, technology, and trendsetters who are changing the way that we build. I'm Grant Hagen.
And I'm Brian Mazzaretta.
And we welcome you to join a community obsessed with questioning the status quo,
creating cultures of innovation,
and equipping everyone with powerful tools to quite simply build different.
Well, hey team, welcome back to the Build Different podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Grant Hagen, joining me here with Brian Vizzaretta. Thank y'all so much again for joining back in with us here for episode 5. We are really excited to share another great conversation with our friend Evan Riley over at Skanska. It was a really great conversation. We hope that you guys are going to be really encouraged by the time and talking with him. He really just breaks down this idea of how to go from one project to 3 projects to 5 projects and really growing some of these ideas with technology implementation. And so Brian, what kind of stands out from this conversation that you remember?
I mean, over the years, just seeing how Evan operates and seeing where he's been able to come so far within a company that he's able to make such a large impact at, it's inspiring to kind of capture that story for other people who may be in a position to do the same.
Yeah, I think you guys will hear a lot of things that you can relate to. Evan is just a really great friend, and we're really excited to be able to showcase and platform his story here with you guys. And again, that's just really the reason why we're here, is to really help connect folks in a really disconnected industry. And so we really appreciate you guys joining back in with us. We hope this is a great episode for y'all, a lot of good takeaways for you guys, and we will see you on the next one. Thanks.
Well, welcome back to the Built Different podcast brought to you by Drone Deploy and StructionSight. We are joined with Evan today. Evan, great to meet you, man.
Great to meet you.
Thanks for coming on the show. This is going to be really fun. Tell us a little bit about your background. Tell us a little bit about Skanska, what you do there, and we'll get into some good stuff here as we kind of get going.
Yeah. So my name is Evan Riley. I'm with Skanska in our building group. I have been with Skanska for the last 5 years in operations and pre-construction. And the last 3 years I've been with our emerging tech group, which is really focused on basically Skanska's internal innovation group that's focused on researching and evaluating different tech products, fostering kind of a spirit of innovation at Skanska, and more, most importantly, connecting people.
Nice. And you were telling us you were in the Raleigh area.
Yep. Based in Raleigh, Durham. Been there since graduating from Duke.
Oh, nice.
6 years ago.
Go Blue Devils. Come on. Are you a bigger
Duke fan?
A big basketball fan or football fan?
I don't pay attention to Duke football. So 100%.
That's pretty understandable.
Focused on basketball.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, that's pretty understandable too. Grew up in the Raleigh area. Went to Skanska after school. How did you kind of land on?
I've actually only been in the Triangle in North Carolina for the last 10 years.
Okay. But
from New York originally, grew up in London, actually.
Okay.
I can't tell by my posh British accent. Unfortunately, most people don't believe me when I tell them that I grew up in London, but it's one of the bigger regrets in my life is not focusing on the accent, but maybe one day.
That's okay. You can always go back to get some good accent stuff. Grew up there, came over to the States. Tell us a little bit about that transition and coming over. Was that like early on, like when you were younger or?
Oh, no, I graduated from high school in London.
Oh, no way.
Came back for university.
Okay.
Studied civil engineering at Duke.
At Duke.
And then I've been in the area ever since.
And what led you into civil engineering? Like what were some of the interests there that you had I feel like that's a pretty specialized degree that folks either had some family or knew about before, or how did you kind of get interested in civil?
Yeah, no family influence or connections or anything like that. I applied for civil engineering, so I knew that I wanted to go down the civil structural track at Duke. Honestly, I think the reason I was interested in, I credit it to growing up in big cities, New York, London, you know, big, diverse cities with architectural landmarks and, you know, famous architecture on display everywhere. I think that's what really inspired me to want to work in the construction industry and, you know, play a role in buildings and construction.
Yeah, that's awesome. I can appreciate that too. Anytime you're in a big metroplex and you see and you're inspired by like all these buildings around, you're like, how do they do that? Like, how do they make that happen?
The other thing that kind of fascinates me about this industry, and, you know, I've only been a part of it for the last, you know, 10 years, including school, is just there's so much behind the scenes that the average person maybe doesn't know about. So, you know, in my short career so far, I've worked in telecom. I've worked on a major subway project in London. That was my first kind of, you know, summer internships. You know, these are just big infrastructure projects that go on behind the scenes, you know, that people don't necessarily think about, you know, public transportation, or they don't think about, you know, the infrastructure that supports their Wi-Fi at home, you know, working on a telecom project. So it really, you know, working in this industry has kind of changed the way I experience spaces.
Yeah. I heard a quote that's always stuck with me. Actually, a friend of mine that's here told me that 1% dictates the other, the way that the other 9% experience it. And I was like, man, that's just a like inspiring quote of like, we get the opportunity to influence and shape like communities and cities and cultures and all the things by the work that we do, and to like have that appreciation of just like how it gets done and how it gets, I always thought that was an interesting like way to look at it.
Yeah. I mean, it's really compared to other industries, you know, I think it's really attractive because it is universal and there's a lot of pride you see with, you know, our people, especially at Skanska, you know, being able to drive around, you know, your neighborhood, your city, point out buildings, projects that you've worked on. Yeah. There's a really strong sense of pride to have built your community.
I'm sure we could spend an entire podcast episode on inspiring the next generation to like experience this industry. It's funny that I feel like there's become a lot more podcasts out there just to like help educate where and what the industry looks like. I'm like, hey, you may have not known that this is what we do in the industry, but here's what that looks like. Here's a way to experience it. So really fun. Evan, I'm curious. So take us, okay, after Duke, you graduated, you're starting with Skanska. What did you do kind of when you started, when you kind of got out of school?
Yeah, I worked for another large EPC firm on a telecom project in the Triangle. After that wrapped up, there was an opportunity to join Skanska in our pre-construction group. And after having been a part of a project that, let's say, didn't end so well, I really wanted to see, you know, what could be done on the planning front to set up a project for success. So I joined our project planning and estimating group in Durham, did that for a year. Then actually went out to the field to build one of our healthcare projects that I had helped plan for a year, and kind of naturally gravitated towards, you know, being that point person on the project for technology. So flying the drone, laser scanning, you know, setting up our project with 360 photos, and kind of taking on some VDC BIM responsibilities as well. And after doing that for a year and kind of pushing the envelope on that one project, was tapped to join our national innovation group.
Nice.
Which is now called our emerging technology group.
Okay, I want to pause there because there's some good nuggets in there. I'm curious, Brian, to get some of your thoughts in here.
Absolutely.
Too. But what was the initial like interest into some of the technology that you were starting to use? Because I feel like I have a story, Brian has a story on that. I'm really curious to hear. Was it more of like some inefficiencies that you were seeing with starting to try out like 360 cameras, drones, like reality? Like, what was that kind of pivot moment that you were like, hey, I want to try this? Or hey, like someone exposed you to it that you found interest in it. Like, take me back to kind of that time that you started to see some of these tools that you started to like get interested in.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think being a new hire, being someone new to the industry that was pretty green, I would say that there were a lot of moments, kind of epiphany moments where it's like, you know, you're learning a company, you're learning a culture, you're learning a workflow, but then there's moments where you're like, oh, why are we doing it this way? And maybe starting to question or start to investigate different solutions that are out there. I think I joined the industry at like an incredibly exciting time, you know, graduating in 2016, the last 6 years, I think have been a really exciting time to have joined the industry in terms of investment, in terms of, you know, startup activity. But I think in each of my roles so far at Skanska, there have been opportunities to kind of leverage the latest and greatest tech in whatever workflow I was doing. So in pre-con, you know, I joined Skanska right at the time that we started using, you know, model-based takeoff workflows. Mm-hmm. And that was an opportunity to both hone, you know, kind of my skill set, but then also train others and kind of be on the forefront of that. And, you know, moving on to a role as a project engineer, there was opportunities for me to leverage the model and to leverage laser scans and leverage 360 photos and meetings. So I guess the main point is that we have a, you know, an ever expanding tool chest, and you know, there's just been so many opportunities to champion those technologies on a project and have a real impact.
So Evan, I want to ask you something. Over the years, as you've been exploring these new technologies, right? You've been starting to see the actual company take a more serious shift into investment assistance, right? Started off as, you know, something we're doing a little bit and now is fully scaled throughout the company. You know, I'm sure there's different SOPs and things that are working behind, you know, the scenes. How have you experienced that firsthand on how that shift on, you know, evaluating technology to going to a full scale has gone?
Yeah, I think a lot of times it kind of starts organically, right? There's one field champion or someone that's, you know, identifies a tool that has merit and has value. And then, you know, that spreads to other projects and other regions and other offices. And largely in the past, I think it has been kind of organic growth. I think our group right now is really laser focused on like what that enablement process for technology should and could look like to make sure that we're supporting those early adopters and accelerating those ideas, making sure they have the right resources and are following the proper protocols. But I would say, one thing we are laser focused on now is really making sure that we're starting with the problem in mind and starting with the challenge before jumping to a solution. I think right now, like I said, there's a lot of startup activity and there are a lot of vendors reaching out and the truth is, we've done a good job of focusing on the problems that need to be solved and not getting distracted by the noise.
Mm, absolutely. We just coined it software exhaustion, right? There's just so much out there and
I'm not exhausted by it though. I think it's exciting. I mean, the fact that we can benchmark multiple solutions that do slightly the same thing or slightly better. I mean, I think it's exciting. That's what kind of gives energy to my team and my role.
Yeah. Well. And that's a good point too, because I think at the end of the day, not competition, but just variety of different tools can be really helpful, right? It's like, hey, one does this really well and it kind of exposes you to something else. Of like, oh, I didn't think about that, or I didn't think how that could be helpful. I think you said it well. It's like, hey, it starts at a field champion and then it kind of grows. Let's kind of talk about how that second step happens. So like maybe a guy like you or someone else on a project team like starts to see and embrace that value. How do you go from 1 to 3 or 3 to 5? Like, because I think that's where a lot of folks get caught up in, how do I take this and expand it into more projects? Like it was easy when it's just my project team. I know their personalities. I know what they're excited about. But like, how do you start to take that from, hey, this was really well, this went really well, to, hey, now we want to kind of small scale this before we, take this out to the masses.
Right, right. How do you scale an idea? And to be perfectly honest with you guys, we are still kind of formalizing what that, what that workflow should look like, informed by like real experiences from the past and how things have organically grown to become, enterprise solutions. I think one thing that we do a great job of now is we, over the last 3-4 years, we've really built a great kind of informal network and a culture of sharing, really, whether it's using Microsoft Teams or monthly calls, we have a network at Skanska of drone pilots. We have networks for people that laser scan, as well as, people that are using 360 cameras. So we have a great network of experts that, share tips and best practices, as well as, product feedback. So we've built these really great formal networks of users and experts. And I think that's really how ideas are spreading pretty rapidly now is through those kind of informal networks. Because at the end of the day, people like talking to other people that are, facing similar problems.
Yeah. Well said. Do you find that there's champions within those networks too? Like, obviously there's kind of consumers and producers, right? There's the people that are really continuing to push the envelope forward. And then maybe some that are just like, hey, I want to be a part of this kind of group or community just to kind of learn. Do you think there's value in having someone like kind of champion those groups? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think you definitely need to have champions to have an impact. But I would say, at Skanska, we really are a company of innovators. Really, they're, everyone kind of embraces that mindset. Not everyone can, be active in our, Teams channels or, join every monthly call.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of interest from, various departments, various roles, various groups in kind of staying up to date on the latest tech trends. And a lot of people are interested in, kind of pushing the envelope on their particular projects and borrowing ideas and success stories from other projects. I think people are really focused on, applying lessons learned and tools from one project to the next.
You made a comment earlier that, hey, let's make sure that we have a problem that we're trying to solve. What if you could kind of group 2 or 3 problems that you guys are seeing right now that you're either trying to solve or attempting to kind of approach it with different processes? Like, what are kind of 2 or 3 of those buckets of problems that you think are just some of the most prevalent right now?
Yeah, I think one that we are really focused on is progress tracking. How can we be transparent about our schedule and the rate of installation of our subcontractors? And, we're looking at various tools to do that. Another one would be quality control. So, that's where structured sight and laser scanning and other reality capture tools come into play. How can we make sure that we're installing things not just at a appropriate rate, but also, maintaining quality along the way?
I think those are two of the biggest things that Brian and I hear just across industry is like, hey, we want to track our progress. Like, and for us to know how this is going to get built and making sure that it's on time is really key. And then like, hey, you don't want to just build something. Like it needs to look and be as intended with the quality that is expected. Yeah. And I think you have anything to add there, Brian?
Yeah. I mean, just like an underlying message about both of those is just communication, right? Like being able to remotely communicate that job site to anybody internally, right? So if you have your internal quality control teams, you have your internal MVP teams, be able to bring everybody to that job site at any time and any, you know, date is kind of like one of the biggest features of what you got to do.
You can't overstate that enough. And like specific to Struction Site, you know, having used Struction Site and other 360 platforms over the last, 4 years, I mean, the biggest impact I have really seen is, you know, referencing 360 photos in meetings, in weekly, daily, you know, weekly OAC meetings, weekly project team meetings, making sure everyone's on the same page. You know, I think a lot of times we maybe think we're on the same page or we're talking about an issue and people aren't really visualizing it. They're not on the same wavelength. And I think there's nothing better than having, you know, the latest and greatest drone photo or a 360 photo above ceiling of a specific coordination issue and just making sure people are really on the same page and aligned, because a lot of times maybe they might not be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, the simplicity of just a 360 image. I mean, we can't overstate, just innovation is awesome. The laser scanning is awesome. There's so many things that are out there that you can tell are very much in the future. And I've kind of yet to wonder, like, are we still kind of in the past with 360 images? Like, it's such a simple and easy platform, but yet it's so effective. And I think that's what's taking a lot of our team and customers and owners and like anyone that's a stakeholder in the industry is like, wait, it's really just that simple? It's really just a 360 image on a floor plan. And
so I think it's simple. And that's one of the things, you know, I think I like about Struction Site is it's, you know, beautifully simple in terms of its design and features. But the one thing that really excites me, and I'm sure you noticed I jumped up a little bit when you were talking about that, but it's the creativity, I think, and the innovative uses we see every day of people using the same tools, the same hardware, and coming up with like innovative uses for 360 cameras. You know, we've seen teams use them for, you know, above ceiling investigation, maybe like in an existing hospital corridor, like keep that space open instead of having to close it to do the pre-construction investigation. We've seen people get very creative with hoisting a 360 camera down a manhole, right? And there's a huge safety implication there too, because if you need to verify if a sanitary line is active, you don't have to send someone down there. And so I think the technology is going to continue to evolve, but I think we're just going to continue to see really creative, innovative uses of the tools based on like the current, you know, kind of capability. People are going to continue to push the envelope. And that's what really excites me, is like, how can we maximize the use of the tools we're already using and uncovering new use cases?
Yeah, well said. Brian and I kind of talked about this. Those are like the built different moments, right? Like this tool was built for this, but opening that up to a broader really audience and people who are using these tools, like that's what we were talking about, this podcast, the name and where it comes from. Like that's what's really cool about it, is you guys and the teams that you're interacting with are like building things different. And that's what we really are like wanting to highlight and focus, is like, hey, yes, these are great tools. Drones weren't necessarily made for construction. 360 cameras probably weren't made for construction, but we're taking these tools out of these different industries and choosing to build different to make things better, make things safer, make things more efficient. And so that's just a cool kind of play on the name of like, hey, why did we choose this name? What does it kind of mean? What does it stand for? And that was going to be one of our questions, is like these moments that you've kind of recognized, hey, people are choosing to build different. Are there any other ones that like kind of come? I mean, I think you just listed this out super well.
I guess we're going to ask you right here.
well, one other thing I wanted to add about, you know, one other nuance, I guess, is those ideas are not coming from me.
Yeah.
Or a central innovation group necessarily. Those creative uses for the technology are coming from our people in operations, superintendents who are looking for, you know, like the example of investigating a manhole, like those ideas are people on our projects know what the technology that we have in our suite is, and they're looking for creative uses. They know that we have the tools and the resources and the expertise, and they're looking, you know, they're thinking when they face a challenge, how can they creatively use the tools that we already use?
Yeah, well said. That's just the stuff that like continues to inspire me, because it's like you see how people, like you give them a tool and you're like, hey, here's what I think it could be helpful for. But hey, you're going to be the one that's really going to take this, leverage it, go and use it for the things that you're trying to fix, the things that you're trying to, you know, get past. And so, yeah, well said. That's anything you add to that, Brian?
No, that's all great stuff. And I always is always a pleasure talking with you and kind of like deep
kind of deeper dive into kind of like what's going on. And every single time I talk to you, there's just another progression, like another step of kind of how you're thinking about things differently. And I look forward to kind of seeing the future of what you got going on.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think you guys are doing also a great job of documenting like other use cases from other companies. I know you guys put out that playbook recently, and honestly, flipping through that was really helpful to see all these other use cases that I had never even thought about from different phases of the project lifecycle. So you guys are doing a great job of knowledge sharing between companies as well.
That's all it is.
That's all, Brian. Let's give Brian a round of applause for that. That's good. I like that. I got buttons.
He did not
over here.
Ask me to.
That was a shameless to say plug that. Too. That was really good.
No, it took a team. There was a lot of people behind that, but honestly, majority of those stories in that playbook are just from field teams and conversations that we had. And I'm like, how do we share that? How do we just get that exposed to somebody who? It's really tough for people who are just starting a technology program right now because they don't have a super large budget where they can just blow money and just throw a lot of R&D. So they want to be super calculated, and they want to at least have a good enough understanding that this has been used by people in the field and it's being receptive. That's pretty much the whole story of it.
Yeah. I'm curious too. I got one more question for you, Evan.
Yeah.
And then we'll let you go. What is something that we could be doing differently? Like when you think, you mentioned, hey, providing resources, giving stuff for us to kind of help share with project teams. Are there things that we on the tech side of the industry can be doing to really help just add fuel to your guys' fire, to the enablement side of it, to getting more people kind of bought in on this idea of how this is helpful? Anything come to mind that you could think of?
Construction side specifically, or just technology?
Yeah, I think
construction technology in general,
maybe to the specific end of what we're trying to do. Maybe it's like, hey, providing more resources, doing things like this to help share with project teams to kind of listen and hear. And we too want to build different. We don't want to just be another software stack that construction companies use, and hence why we want to provide, resources like this and audio and video and examples like that. But what haven't we thought of yet? Like, what are the things that you guys could encourage us with to try to take on?
Yeah. Most importantly, I think get out to the job site.
Yeah.
Talk to real users. That's how you get their honest feedback. I think that's how you can have, that's how someone in my role can have the biggest impact. And that's how I think you guys as on the technology side can have the biggest impact as well, is collecting feedback directly from the users, not filtered through, a third party or someone else.
Yeah.
Directly from the people in the field.
Yeah, well said. Brian and I miss the opportunities that we could have just walked out of our office into a job site, but it is really fun. I mean, getting to chat with you and getting to collaborate with other projects that we are still connected with is really fun. But yeah, well said.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, we will wrap things up here. Evan, super fun. Man, this is just really exciting. I appreciate the time that you would spend on here. Brian, any closing thoughts you have?
Nope. Everything's good with me.
Come
that
on.
Was great.
Evan, super fun, man.
Thanks.
Appreciate the time.
Me.
Yeah, this is great. And we will catch you guys on the next episode. We'll talk soon.
Make sure to subscribe to Built Different on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere you listen to podcasts. Let's build this community together.